You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As always, we kick off with how the markets have been moving throughout the day. It looks as though some of the markets have had better movements than others. And I'm joined on the line by Terence Hove, Senior Market Analyst at XNES, to take a look at some of the market movements happening throughout the day. Good evening, Terence. Thanks, as always, for taking the time. Oil prices finally playing ball, but the Rand back at 19 Rand 15. And it seems as though we're starting to see weakness across the board for the Rand.
Yeah, good evening, Jimmy. Great to be back on the show. Very interesting week it's been for markets in general. As you've mentioned, for oil, I think that's the great paradox at the moment when we look at that Middle East conflict that's happening. And I think that's what had really kept the prices elevated, even though there'd been production cuts from OPEC to try and, you know, meet the demand that's out there. And the outlook for demand had weakened as well. But I think that the market is priced in a probable less reaction with regards to the Middle East conflict, or whether Israel will retaliate to Iran's drone attacks and missile attacks. But, you know, you've got a lot of world leaders that are now stepping in to try and defuse the situation at the moment. And, you know, that's probably starting to play out in the oil price as well. And the Rand, yes, I think that's suffering from the hawkish comments that came on earlier in the week. We've got those spring meetings that are happening in Washington, D.C. U.S. Fed Jerome Powell hinted at higher for longer is back on the table, because inflation in the U.S. is not coming down as quick as they anticipated it to. It's still remaining sticky. The U.S. jobs market is extremely resilient at the moment, still robust. So that's played well into the strength of the U.S. dollar. And on the back of that, you know, the Rand is suffering. We had our own inflation data coming out yesterday, cooling down, yes, but not quite to the level where we're expecting the SARB to be cutting rates at the next meeting. Retail sales we're still weak, quite better than what they were previously. I think the previous print was negative 2.3% and yesterday's was negative 0.8%. So it has improved, but, you know, the economic outlook for us in South Africa remains dampened at the moment, that the consumer is under stress. So I think these are some of the factors that we're seeing playing out in the Rand dollar trade at the moment.
You mentioned that economic outlook not looking the greatest, and I think I read a report today that's forecasting that we might hit a technical recession in South Africa, and obviously that's not going to bode well. It was off the back of the interest rates remaining as elevated as they are. It poses an interesting challenge, though, for the SARB in this situation, Terence, and I want to get your thoughts on it, because if the SARB cuts too early, the Rand will continue to weaken. It will cause inflation to go up. They'll have to hike rates again. So it won't really be a solution for them to cut too early, because cutting too early doesn't guarantee a bolstering of economic growth. And at the same time, if they leave the rates higher and they leave them high for too long, then consumers will continue to be under pressure, will continue to not be able to meet those demands. Growth might not happen. So from SARB's perspective, it's really a rock and a hard place. But how do we get out of the conundrum?
Yeah, so as you said, it's a rock, you know, it's in between a rock and a hard place. And the fact is, I think the SARB, especially the governor, has always been consistently clear about their fight against inflation and the need to get inflation, you know, to that midpoint, that 4.5%. So right now, it, you know, as it came out, the headline figure was at 5.3%. So there's still more that needs to be done. And if we look at the interest rate story, when they first started increasing interest rate, including in the U.S., the fear was always that something had to break for central banks in general, for them to achieve their fight against this record high inflation globally in general. So it's the same thing, that then the soft landing narrative came into the picture, where it was seemingly possible to have higher rates for longer, but still have a good level of economic activity, that's not going to get economies into recession, which, again, you know, was similar to our case here in South Africa. But the fact is, for us to really force inflation down, for the sub to get inflation to that midpoint or lower, something will need to break. And possibly that technical recession might be it, because at the end of the day, that rand stability, you know, rand weakness is not good for consumers. We might get lower interest rates, which will be great for the consumer, but that rand weakness will still bring higher inflation and we'll have higher prices through fuel, and then it'll filter in through other aspects of different industries. So we really do need a stronger rand, and that we can achieve with getting inflation back into that midpoint that the South African Reserve Bank needs to get it to that 4.5%. So it is possible that we might get that technical recession, but it might be that catalyst that's needed to really get inflation down lower.
Well, hopefully that does end up coming lower. We'll keep an eye on that and see how that works. I want to look at some international news, Terence. We got Netflix earnings out today. We also got an update on their password policy or the updates around that. What's happening there?
Yeah, Netflix is becoming quite a successful story. I think that they've really become the kings of the streaming service. We've seen other service providers trying to compete in that space, but Netflix keeps going in leaps and bounds. And one of the big drivers is that password sharing, where they're able to now convert, you know, some of those users, you know, to paying subscribers, and they're expecting about an additional 1.8 million new subscribers to their platform, which again is driving strong revenues as well. So I think that, you know, policy that they've implemented and being able to convert those users has been very crucial for them to drive those numbers. And again, with Netflix, they've got a lot of exclusive original content that's only available on their platform. That's really driven a lot of traffic to the service, and they keep improving on that content quality. They keep including more quantity in terms of the service that they offer. And one thing that I think investors and traders shouldn't overlook is the non-English content as well that they're able to offer. That's also been a very, very, very strong revenue driver for Netflix.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that and see how that continues to grow, because now we're at, I think there's projections that they're seeing subscriber growth around hit the 34 or north of the 30 million subscriber mark in the next 4 years. They're currently at around, I think it's around 13.5 million in the ad tier growth that they're looking at. So we'll keep an eye on that to see how that works out for them, and also see how guys like Showmax and the new multi-choice conversation are going to be pairing out there while we actually are on the multi-choice. Your thoughts on that, Terence? Multi-choice, Canal Plus picking up to 40% of the shareholding, obviously that mandatory offer coming through, but nothing stops them from picking up anything in the market as long as that deal is under consideration, I guess.
Yeah, I think Canal Plus has really showed intent to pursue this deal from the time that they announced it, and actively pursuing all the other, as you've mentioned, stocks that are available out there in the market. They've been, you know, grabbing as much stock as they could possibly get. And they're very much committed. And it's also a play into that new market for them as well, because one of the main things that they say, there's great collaboration that they're hoping that they'll bring from the French market together with the market that MultiChoice already has access to, that they could be able to scale up the business. So that remains to be seen. We've seen MultiChoice over the years. They've bought up a lot of different channels to offer, I think, one of the best in the most or a very strong, you know, monopoly position, so to speak, across Africa in terms of satellite TV offerings. So with Canal Plus coming into the picture, it'll be interesting to see the dynamic that that deal is also going to unlock in terms of value for investors. And most importantly, for the viewers, is the quality of viewing really going to improve? They've made promises that they want to work with MultiChoice. It's not galvanizing MultiChoice out of the market, but rather collaborative work. So it remains to be seen what would happen. Different market. They're coming from a French market. MultiChoice, it's predominantly English market as well. So it will be interesting to see how that dynamic is going to play out as the deal unfolds.
Interesting indeed. At the end of the day, with the amount of choice that exists in the market, the consumer remains king. And if you don't treat them right, they'll show you that on your balance sheet. Let's leave it at that, Terence. Terence Hove, Senior Market Analyst at Xnest, joining me to reflect on the market movements throughout the day.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.